Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You are listening to the Confessionals podcast. I am the guy who pushes buttons sometimes, Jack, and I'm glad to be here. If you have a story or an encounter you'd like to share on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And if you're somebody who doesn't know that Tony has a book coming out, well, guess what? He has a book coming out in October this year. It's called The Confessionals Exposing Warring Kingdoms. And it's going to be an incredible book. If you haven't pre-ordered already, go ahead and click the link in the description and pre-order the book today. Every pre-order helps towards building this incredible launch that we're having in October. So go ahead and check it out in the description and become one of the cool people who has Tony's book. So, all right. So we have Charisse joining us today to share her journey out of Wicca, New Age practices, Reiki, and occult spirituality, and all of the demonic oppression that followed. She shares what began as a search for power and healing turned into a battle for her family, her mind, and her soul. But through Christ, prayer, and deliverance, her story becomes a powerful testimony of freedom from the darkness. So, let's get to Charisse right now.
All right, today we have Charisse and Marco on the show. How are you?
Great, thanks.
I'm glad you guys are here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so that's all we can ask for. Everybody's good. I'm good. And we're here today because we want to talk about your testimony, Charisse, and kind of how God brought you through some pretty dark, you know, stages in life. And you know, you kind of traveled through life with a lot of baggage, and you've gone through deliverance exorcisms from years of practicing Wicca, New Age, occult practices, and many other things. And so I'm definitely here to let you kind of share this testimony of yours and how it kind of all unfolded. I guess to start things off, before we even get to the Catholic school side of things as in your childhood, do you, looking back on things, feel like your grandfather being a Freemason had anything to do with the direction of your life when it comes to the occult?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of that came from, you know, he had an influence over my mother. You know, he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in Jesus. And that kind of spilled over into my mother. and her thinking, you know, about faith, Christianity, God in general. So she believed that there was something else and believed in God, but she did not believe in any kind of Christian thing or anything like that. And the Masons, oh, absolutely. I mean, as I went through deliverance and started to discover more about what that was about, you know, it was a reveal to me why I was struggling still through deliverance, the generational curses, the, you know, they devote children and oaths and stuff that they take, that they do things with the next generation, your grandchildren. They start doing devotionals and stuff like that with children. So I absolutely believe that that was instrumental of just like fracturing the whole anything in faith, you know, yeah, in your household. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard many different people's accounts of dealing with Freemasons to the lineage. I have even, you know, some of my friends, when my wife had gotten diagnosed with cancer, they had asked, you know, does she have any Freemasons in her family lineage? And I had asked why would that even be something to be curious about? And I found out then that apparently, I don't know if it's, I imagine it's probably not the most basic level of Freemasonry, but at some point as you rise in the ranks of Freemasonry, there are I guess allegiances made or promises made, and early young death in future lineage is something that tends to happen. And I don't know if that's because there was a, you know, and you owe it to whatever entity or what, but you know, the more I talk to people, I have a friend who was deeply in the Freemasons. It just seems to me, at least as somebody who I've never been a Freemason and I've never studied Freemasonry, but just, you know, from the outside looking in, it seems like at least the bare minimum, the higher up you go in the Freemason structure, the darker it seems to get. Do you know what level your grandfather was at?
He was pretty high. I want to say he was into the 20s, but you know, I don't know. This is just hearsay from my sister, who really used to follow him, and she used to like really glorify it. You know, as he went up, he got involved in other factions of it, which was the Golden Dawn Order and the Rajakrujans. So he was dabbling in what they call high magic. It's not like putting spells on people to get them to fall in love with you and like love potions. This was just like, he was looking for like a tear in the atmosphere so he could harness some kind of power. You know, it was more for self-power and, you know, that his logic, you know, his understanding, you know, he was Spanish speaking he did not like God. He didn't believe in it. In fact, he used to say something in the house and I didn't know what it meant, but he used to curse God in a way that it was just really, when I found it one minute, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, because I was still young and I didn't understand what that meant in Spanish, you know. So when I was like, yeah, that's not good, you know. But yeah. It's what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely, I believe that, you know, people who have come before us, grandparents, parents, they do lay spiritual foundations in our lives. And I just understanding that, you know, the legal nature that these entities, these demonic forces operate with, if somebody who, you know, say my great grandfather dedicated the next 10 generations to a specific deity, those entities, they take that literal, you know? And so, and not to say that, you know, that those chains can't be broken, but if you don't even know that you're operating with chains on, you can't break them. And so there's a lot of people that walk through life and they're just like, they're oblivious to the idea that, you know, how many times do people feel like, why does this always happen to me? And it's like, well, maybe it's not a bad luck issue. Maybe it's a spiritual issue. Maybe there's something going on there that needs to be dissected. And so Well, that's good to know about your grandfather and the foundation there. So if your grandfather was pretty anti-God, your mom was pretty anti-God, how did you wind up in a Catholic school?
Well, they moved out of the Bronx, you know, and then we moved to like Rockland County, which was upstate New York, kind of, you know, the northern suburb. And my parents just were thinking, you know, we could put them into public school or we could put them into this other school. It's going to cost more money, you know, but it's a good education. So they felt that the education in a Catholic school was superior. They didn't believe it in anything with the Catholic school, although my father was, he was Catholic. My mother was Methodist. Like, they were baptized as children, but they never followed anything in faith, you know. And, you know, so they ended up putting us in, you know, my sister and I, in this Catholic school. And we would go, you know, and in Catholic school, I don't know if, how much you know about Catholic, there's a lot of like masses. You have to go like this, you know, Sunday mass, well, you know, different times of the day. They have like Saturdays, they have Friday nights, they have different masses and functions, confession, you know, that you needed to go to. And being, our school wasn't that big, so they noticed you. You know, if you weren't in church on Sunday, you know, you're going to face the music on Monday, you know, with the nuns and the teachers. And, you know, my experience was my mother wasn't going, you know, they would literally like smack us around in school. You know, I'd get hit, you know, for as disciplinary action, you know, for whatever, if you did something wrong. There were a few nuns that were so abusive that was what led my exit out of Catholic school eventually. But, you know, they didn't believe. So naturally, you know, I'd go to school, and the more my parents weren't showing up, I was like, you have to go. I was like, listen, you know, mom, you got to go. You know, here I'm like first grade, second grade. And I'm telling them, it's like, if you don't go to church, they're going to beat me up in class. You know, I'm going to get it from the nuns. And she was just like, I'm not going to no church. She's like, I'm not going. She's like, no. And she refused to. She went maybe like once or twice. My father was never involved in anything with the church because he didn't believe either, you know. And he was like New York City homicide detective. He was always working. He was very busy, you know, so he wasn't around as much. But my mother, she was just like, you know, confession, you know, we had to go to confession. She was like, you want to talk? You don't confess to any man. She's like, you want to confess? You confess to me. You know, you tell me your sins. So I was like, okay, you know, and here they are trying to, you know, there's a lot of the Virgin Mary. That was, you know, idols all over the grounds of the school, a lot of statues, excuse me, of her. And they talked about Christ, you know, but it started to become an element of confusion. You know, I'm going to school. These people are supposed to represent this beautiful person, Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary, you know, and they're supposed to be so good. And they're teaching us all these prayers, which is part of the curriculum. And as I was going through it, it was just like, you know, my mom doesn't support this. And like, she gets really angry with me when I ask her and tell her to come to school or church or any functions. And, you know, when I don't go, these people start smacking me around in school, you know, for everything, you know, your penmanship and all kinds of stuff. You can, you know, it was a very strict school, a lot of discipline. But anyway, so that led me into a lot of confusion. And I was just like, gosh, you know, I don't know if I could do this. I just didn't want any part of it. And my sister was also, you know, instrumental in that. She's like, oh yeah, don't believe any of that Immaculate Conception stuff. That's a lie. You know, that's not even possible. So there was all this influence over my life, and she was older. So I listened to a lot of what she said. So, you know, that's just what brought me further and further away from, you know, my journey with religion, with Christ, with the Catholic school, you know. And, you know, eventually I just said, all right, that's it. You know, after third grade, after that last beating I took from a nun, you know, my mom came to school and she gave her the what for. And she was just like, you know, that's it. You're not going back to the school. You know, it's not worth it. And she pulled us out.
So she pulls you out of the school. And that's in third grade. So where did this transition start happening for you? Because clearly you had some kind of desire to have a spiritual existence. You know, people don't go into New Age or Wicca occult practices without a personal desire for some kind of existence spiritually. You know, that might be kind of like what your grandfather was doing, where he was essentially seeking power through magical means and sorcery or whatnot. The dark arts is how I often call it. But there's this desire for some kind of spiritual existence, whether it's for self means or for self understanding and purpose. I'm assuming you didn't get into New Age and Wicca in third grade then as soon as you left the school. But that school, I mean, your experience there laid the foundation for you to be rejecting of a Christian faith. At what point did you start pursuing other sources of spirituality?
As I got older, like into my teens, I had already had some exposure to it in the household. My mom had a lot of like horoscope stuff. She had little horoscope books for each of our signs, like, you know, Capricorn or whatever it was. So my mom was really into that spiritual kind of element. She had what they called white witchcraft books hidden in a closet that she used to read. And she said, don't ever touch these things. And, you know, Matt, my sister was really curious, so she'd start reading them. And then, you know, I got curious. She's like, you can't read this. And naturally, here I am, you know, I'm going to read it. You know, so I took a look at it. I didn't know what it was talking about. And I was like, this isn't for me. I pushed it aside. And I kind of, I didn't really bother. But that element was always in the household. You know, my grandfather was still with us because he lived with us. And, you know, they used to talk about spiritual things. They were very intrigued by it. They were very fascinated by it. And you know, it was more like, you know, when you're doing witchcraft, it's like you have power. When you're manipulating spirits, it's like that personal power that you can do these things. And that's the deception, you know. But as I got older, you know, I just started wandering further and further away from anything spiritual. I got into the secular world, you know. I was listening to secular music, hard rock and roll and stuff, just like doing the high school thing. And, you know, I started meeting people who were into crystals and stuff like that, and just talking about it and talking about, like, and it wasn't even considered like magic at the time. It was just somebody who was really into crystals. And she was telling me, oh, this crystal could do this for you. This is like a pink crystal. It brings you love. It's a rose quartz. And this one, you know, so each crystal had some property that could benefit your life. You know, the hematite was for healing. So you're looking at all these crystals and say, wow, these things can really help you. You know, one could help your finances. One could do this. So, you know, having no base to go on, I started gravitating to that, you know. I got into crystals. I got into, you know, as time went on, you know, I got into the music industry. You know, I was in a heavy metal band for 11 years, you know, thrash band. And in that, I started to meet more people who had ventured into that kind of stuff too, you know, into Wicca or witchcraft and stuff. So that just turned me that way completely. You know, I got deeper and deeper into it. And I just started doing things for myself, researching, reading books, you know. A drummer's girlfriend that I knew from another band, she was recommended a book for me to read, these solitary practitioner for Wicca. And like, that was, I suffered from dyslexia as a child. At least that was the label that they put on me. And I had difficulty completing a book to read. That was the first book I was able to finish reading completely. And I was like, wow, I was able to read this. And, you know, that just set me even further. I was really drawn into that kind of thing. And that just sent me on to other things. You know, I just kept on going with it. I kept on, you know, seeing things. Oh, I can have my personal power this way. I could cast, like, she was training me in some way, you know. I would meet her every now and then, and she was just like, you know, oh, you can do this. You can cast a spell, you know, for this, for that. You know, if people are having difficulty with people, you know, you could cast a spell with that and do candles and stuff. So I was, you know, I was immediately drawn into that, thinking that, you know, I had my own personal power. And of course, they don't talk about hell or the demons or any of that, you know. The further I got into it with people who were experienced, they never mentioned anything. Oh, they called it negative and positive energy. And they sanitize a lot of this stuff by just calling it like low vibration energy. A lot of new ages, that's like the buzzword, low vibration energy. And, you know, that was like, they don't talk about all the bad stuff that happens, you know, later on when you go, you know, get really deep into this.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.